So there's machlokas brought in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when the Rosh Chodesh for trees is. The Rosh Chodesh for regular Ilanos. Beis Shammai says on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, that he says Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos. Right, well, Beis Hillel says on Tu B'Shvat. We all know that machlokas, right? We paskin like Beis Hillel, like we do everywhere else, and we say Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos. What we have to wonder is, what in the world is this machlokas about? What does it apply for? Now, there's no question there's a halachic nafkamina, meaning there's a nafkamina regarding orla, regarding netzer revoy, regarding those types of issues when you're allowed to eat the fruits, etc., right, that does apply, maybe even shmita, that'll apply for when Rosh Chodesh Lilanos are, when that Rosh Chodesh is, if it's Tu B'Shvat or Rosh Chodesh Shvat, depends on when you plant the fruit, depends on when it grows. That is without a question whatsoever. But there's so many strange things in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva held of both. He was matmir like Rosh Chodesh Shvat and like Tu B'Shvat. But the Gemara says, how could you do such a thing? You can only hold like one or the other. Either you hold like Beis Shammai or you hold like Beis Hillel, but you can't just pick and choose or grab both and take two opinions. It's a fool that does something like that. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Akiva was misupik, if we should hold like Beis Shammai, or if we should hold like Beis Hillel. So he did both. He held Rosh Chodesh Shvat, he held a Tu B'Shvat, and he had both of them together. The Gemara is strange. There has to be a message here. There has to be. Because such a Gemara, that the machlokas of Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos, what's the question? Is the question really more of a machlokas of metzias on when sap goes into the tree? That Beis Shammai said through their scientific, their hypotheses and everything, they figured out it's on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and that they said, well, figured out it's on Tu B'Shvat? That can't be it. Is it based on the Torah? We don't see a pasuk that defines Rosh Chodesh Lilanos as being Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. So what is this machlokas based on? Now, I'm not going to give a shorish of the machlokas, a root of this machlokas based on something halachic. That I can't do. I don't know. I don't know enough about any of this stuff to be able to do so. But I am going to mention the more Hasidish explanation that explains these questions in a different vein. Meaning, forget about the actual halacha that stems from Rosh Chodesh to Tu B'Shvat. What do we learn and what are they getting out of that Beis Shammai says Rosh Chodesh, Beis Hillel says Tu B'Shvat, and Rabbi Akiva really says both? Really says both. What are we trying to get out of it? So this concept is brought down by the Tver Shlomo, the Radomsker, brought down by the Sfasemis, by the B'nai Yisusker, and I've seen it myself and those three sons as well as Rav Wolfson and Rav Shor. They all bring down the same idea. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for Chidushei Torah. It's the beginning of the year for a person to be able to grab more Chidushim, to understand the Torah in such a way that he had never understood it before. And in fact, in a way that the Torah has never been understood before. In a way that's completely different than anything that's ever been said. You can now have a brand new, it's almost like a Rosh Hashanah, where you can daven and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, for some type of Siyata Deshmaya, to get something that you've never understood or that no one has ever understood before. This is the day that you can do so. Now we're going to have to explain that a little bit. This is the beginning of the end. The winter's month is a long month from Sukkot to Pesach. It's a long month. There really are no breaks, even though you're in yeshiva with a break, but there really are no breaks from one to the other. It just gets cold, it's dark, it's not exactly, it gets dark early, it's not the easiest time to get yourself up in the morning and to learn and get yourself out of your warm bed to go into the cold air and to sit and learn and put yourself with your head inside and to get around. But this is the end. We're coming to the end. The sap is going into the trees. It's beginning to blossom. You can maybe see that here, but in some places you can see buds starting to grow on the trees themselves, and you see that there's growth. There's something that's happening. You can see that we can renew everything, and that everything is going to get better. There might be snow on the ground now, but it won't be. Things are going to happen. Ki adam eitz hasad is a pasuk kisei. That a person is like an eitz hasad, a person is like a tree. We can do the same. We can start building up ourselves, make ourselves learn in a different way, and to make it greater as the months go by. At the end of the winter's month, we can actually build ourselves up greater than we have been for the previous two or three months. Now the truth is, that for many of us, it's very difficult to come up with a real chiddush in Torah. See, think of inventions, for example. And you think to yourself, you know what? Everything that ever needs to be invented has already been invented. There's nothing I can do. What am I going to do? I can't invent something, right? How can I make something new? Everything is already here. But obviously, that's foolish. Right? The fact that we all have these cell phones that are mini computers in our hands shows us that the greatest, well, not the greatest, the worst, but things can be created, right? As time goes on, it just takes innovation. It takes a person's mind who has seen a little bit of an issue to find some type of an opening, to find something that he can get into, and then all of a sudden, everything is blown apart. The whole world is a different world. It changes everything. One guy making one decision, one thing that he thinks in his head, all of a sudden, everything is different. The whole world is different. And it's not that the guy I don't even know who invented cell phones, but whoever did it, it's not that that person is a greater chacham than, let's say, Benjamin Franklin. It's that he built up what everybody else previous to him did, was able to figure out how to do certain things, and created something unbelievable. Now, you might think when you're learning, especially when you're learning Gemara, what can I possibly add to what the Tanoim and the Amoraim already thought up? And if there was something to add to what the Tanoim and the Amoraim were thinking, well, certainly that was brought down by the Rishonim. It was either thought about or written about by the Rishonim. And if it wasn't brought up by them, then it's for sure brought up by the Achronim. There's no question that I can have that wasn't asked beforehand. There's no answer that I'm going to be able to give that wasn't asked by the Achronim or answered by the Achronim. There's no way. There's nothing that I can do that's going to be there, especially because our analytics are not the same as it was back then. And our ability to understand the pure language of the Gemara is not always as perfect. To where we get bogged down by just the words, just trying to figure out what it says, let alone what everything is trying to do. And that's true. It's hard. It's hard to get into a Gemara and to be able to sit down and try to come up with something. It's hard to learn something in Chumash and not ask a question that's already been asked by 20 people or come up with an answer that hasn't been answered by 20 people. It's difficult. But it doesn't mean you can't do it. You just have to find another approach. So what's the approach? What's the approach that you can do to change things around a little bit? Okay. First of all, before we get to the approach, you should know that it is 100% true that you have an approach that's different from every single other person in this world, and that from every person that ever existed. You may repeat certain things, but there is no question you have a chelek in Torah that no one else has. And if you don't use it, meaning, if you allow that to remain dormant inside you, and you don't use it at all, you don't bring it out at all, then I guarantee you, la'asid lavo, there will be a claim against you. There will be something where God will say to you, here is your Torah, your book of Chidushe Torah, why didn't you say that? There will be that claim on you, and it's going to be up there. How do I know that? Well, you say it every single day in your Shemona Esrei. Every single day. Even if you don't do it after Rabbi Yishmael Omer, you without a question say it at the end of your Shemona Esrei. The problem is you take your 3 steps back, and you might forget that there's a whole Yirutz on there. But Yirutz Shibona Beis HaMikdash Meher V'Yameinu. We wish, we want it to be your will in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Beis HaMikdash is built. Shibona Beis HaMikdash Meher V'Yameinu. Sein Chalkeinu B'Zorah Zeh. Give us our chelek in your Torah. I have a chelek. I know there's something that I'm going to learn, and I'm going to understand, and I'm going to have a chiddush on that no one else here will ever have. No one. Because it's my chelek, my portion. And every single other person has the exact same thing. It's not Chalkeinu is in a pluralistic, we're all coming up with our chelek and Torah together. It's that I understand the Torah differently from everybody else. Because my experiences, my world, everything that I've been through allows me to understand things in a certain vein that other people don't have because they're not me. And if I have that, I have a way of looking at certain psukim, at a certain gemara, at certain opinions. And I can think to myself, this is the way they're thinking. I'm not attributing myself to Rabbi Yochanan. I'm not putting myself on the Rabbanah. That's not what I'm doing. I'm allowing the I guess you could say the methods that a Kaddish Baruch Hu allows me to go through the world, I'm allowing that to influence my way of understanding where the Rabbanah might be coming from or where Rabbi Yochanan might be coming from. Why would he say that? Well, what would I do if I was in that situation? What would I do if I saw such a thing? You can't allow your Yetzer to start screaming at you and saying, you can't do anything. You're not worth anything. You can't really learn. You don't even understand what this word means. Don't let yourself be fooled or downgraded by such a Yetzer. You are someone who can try and make something that has never been said before. Let's take a regular Gemara. And let's try to look at a Gemara and just try to understand in a simple way. You look at the Gemara and you say to yourself, every single day, why is this here? Why is this here? Why are we learning about this? And I'm sure you've asked it to yourself, but probably in a disparaging way. I hate Gemara. I don't really want to learn this, because what am I going to possibly get out of it? Don't think of it that way. Think of it in a different vein. Why in the world is this here? We have a Gemara Shabbos. Very, very little of Hilchos Shabbos is written in the Torah itself. Very, very little. We all know that 39 Malachos are all derived from a pasuk that compares the Mishkan to Shabbos. We know that. So where did this Gemara come from? Where are these Tanoim and Amoraim getting their ideas from? Why is this here? And then, what are we putting this right next to the next Gemara for? Or the Gemara previous for? Why is this here over anywhere else? You look at it, you take a look at it. You try to think. Is it because this is an Amoraic statement of Rabbi Yochanan? And Rabbi Yochanan spoke about something else up earlier. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is just going over another statement of his. Now that he was in Shir and saying statement A, now he's saying statement B. Or is it that really Rabbi Yochanan is trying to contrast the two? And he's saying, granted, in case A, this is what I said. But in case B, here's what I think about this case. If that's true, then what in the world is going on here? What is that contrast? What's the comparison? Why are we putting them up together? See, it's so simple to think of little questions that you could ask in the Gemara. Where is this person coming from? You always see that random Amora that you've never seen before that just gets brought up in the Gemara. Why did this person get the chalik of that Torah? Why is he here? To be able to sit there and to think to yourself, if I was an Amora, what would I do? If I was Rashi, what would I have said on this? And to look through a Gemara before you look at Rashi, and to say to yourself, here's what I would translate this word as. And then look at Rashi. And if Rashi says like you, beautiful. And if Rashi doesn't say like you, why? Why doesn't he like your answer? Why doesn't he like your explanation? Why? What's wrong with Rashi's explanation that you think yours is a little bit better? All of this is Chiddush Torah. You may not be able to write it all down because it's thought processes that go through during your 2 hours, 2.5 hours of morning Seder. But nonetheless, it's thought processes. What's going on? Right now, if you're paying attention, you probably have thoughts going through your head. What are those thoughts about? What are you thinking? What are you trying to get around? That in and of itself is a chiddush. It's a chiddush. Now granted, it's a chiddush on an, I can't even put myself in the category of the akrei aponim, but of a person who's speaking and trying to understand something in Chiddush HaTorah, you're having a thought right now as I'm speaking, but nonetheless, even that is a chiddush on your part. And that's something that can be built up, made into something, can be created into a whole shita, an opinion, a way of looking at things. And that can happen, and if it's used correctly and explained well and done well, that could be something unbelievable. And that's the point of a chavrusa. Because sometimes you yourself are crazy. And you can come up with something that's totally off and makes absolutely no sense. But your chavrusa is there to ground you. To be able to say to you, that's nuts. That's not shot. That's not what you're thinking. It should be this way. And you're able to build up from there. There's an ability to be able to do such a thing. Your chavrusa should be a sounding board for you to go up against to be able to understand something a little bit better. And even when it's a shear, your Rebbe should be the sounding board. That when you ask the question and it's either accepted or rejected, you understand the basic direction in which you're going. Everyone can do this. It's part of the reason why I put up those sheets on my door, right, for every week to be able to get people to start thinking something in Chumash. I can look up the answers myself. I'm good at research. I don't need the answers. I want you to start thinking in a different vein. Look at what the acronyms say on this answer. Try to figure it out yourself and try to wonder to yourself, would I have said that? Is that the answer I would have given? Maybe I should look this up a little bit further. That creates a chiddush. That allows for a chiddush to be there. So let's go back. We said that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is a time for Chidushei Torah. We said there's a machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. When that takes place, Rosh Chodesh or Tetzvav, and here's the pshat behind that. Beis Shammai is the type of person who finds these things easy. Beis Shammai was brighter. They were Yoser Chachamim than Beis Hillel. So in Beis Shammai's worldview, Beis Shammai's way of looking at the world, you can come up with Chidushei Torah even on Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to build yourself up. Even on Rosh Chodesh, you're ready. You can say your own Chidushei Torah. You can just jump into a sugya and immediately say something. And some people are like Beis Shammai. Some people have that head. They have that mind. They can look at something and immediately understand it. Rav Aaron Cutler was one time sitting down with a bunch of other rabbanim. As they were sitting down, a boy came in and he said that he was able to make a siyum on one amud of Gemara. He had something wrong. He couldn't understand Gemara at all. He couldn't figure it out. But he plugged away and plugged away, and it took him a few months, and after a few months he finished his first amud of Gemara that he understood. And Rav Aaron Cutler got up, ran out. I don't remember who it was who ran after him. Whoever it was ran after him, saw that Rav Aaron Cutler had his head against the wall in the hallway, crying. He went up to him and said, Rebbe, what's wrong? What happened to you? Rav Aaron Cutler said, I've never had a bit of Gemara that I haven't fully understood when I first took a look at it. There's never been a Gemara like that for me. I've always wanted a challenge to be able to push myself to understand a full amount of Gemara. I've never had that issue. He was a Beis Shammainik, so to speak. A person who got things so quickly, it just came into his head that immediately he was able to get a chiddush just by looking at the Gemara. By saying nothing else, he was able to just look at it and able to figure things out that nobody had ever thought before. But not everyone is like that. Beis Hillel takes time. The sap may go into the tree, but it takes a while for it to make an effect. It takes, let's say, 15 days for it to go on further and further until finally it gets up to Tu Bishvat, and then, only then, do you have the concept of Chidushei Torah. That's the idea behind it, says Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, wait a little bit. It's not going to happen all at once. It's not going to happen in the first place. You might need a lot of work to build yourself up all the way until you get to Tu Bishvat. Until you get to the 15th where you're finally able to come up with a Chidush. But do you realize that Beis Hillel is the way we paskin? Beis Shammai is brilliant. There are people that get things like that. But Beis Hillel's work, the amount of effort that it takes for them to come up with the halacha, the amount of days that it takes to be able to figure something out, that in of itself causes us to paskin like them. They thought it through again and again and again, and they heard Beis Shammai. And if you have two chavrusas sitting there, they're dissimilar to one another. You've seen it before. One chavrusa that's brilliant and just gets things so quickly. Another chavrusa is a little more methodical. He sits there and he says, I don't know it. Is that shot? Is that not shot? The person who just very quickly is not listening anymore. I came up with shot, I'm done. But the other guy's thinking it through. And in this case, the tortoise defeats the hare. The tortoise wins. The hare is going quick. The hare is able to get everything so quickly, he's able to get it, but this Beis Hillel. Not everyone is meant to be a Beis Shammai. But everyone has the ability to be a Beis Hillel. Not that Gemara, Shabbos, the Lamed Aleph, the Gerim, the prospective Gerim that came up the hill on. One of them asks crazy questions, right? The other one says, teach me Torah while I'm standing on one foot. The other one says, teach me only Torah Shvakstav, not Torah Shvalpet. Right? You know those Gemaras? Shammai doesn't accept them, but Hillel does. Because Hillel needs a person to work. He needs him to work and see where he's going. Let's build this person up. Well, Shammai is, you get it or you don't. You get it or it's gone. And that's it. It's a different world by both of them. And Beis Hillel needs a person who's going to go slow but sure, so slow but sure until he finally figures it out. And it may be that you yourselves are a Beis Shammai. And you're able to take a look at a Gemara and you can come up with Chidushei Torah. I'm a Beis Hillel. I don't get it in the first place, and it takes me a long time to figure things out when it comes to things like this. And when it comes to trying to work hard, yeah, it's going to take me a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, and maybe even a few years to figure out something where I can understand where the Gemara is coming from. I may get it the first time around, I may get it the second time around, it may take me 3 or 4 times around to look at a Gemara in which I'm going to see it to be able to get there. But you have to try harder to be able to understand it to the point where you can come out with something. You can have your own ideas that the Gemara is trying to tell you. Then you grow. Then you're able to become something. That's the only way that you're going to be able to go through. And in that vein, says Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shvat stands for Shmuos Besoros Tovos. Shin, the day's test. Shmuos Besoros Tovos. You should have good news. We should hear good news. Because if you're Zoka, to be able to learn in such a way that you can understand your Chidushei Torah, you can understand it to the point where you really get it, you build yourself up to it, there's no question that's the harbinger of Mashiach. That gives the ability for Mashiach to come in and say, here I am, I'm ready to come in for you. This is not a specific month asking for Mashiach, but we're coming up to Nisan. We want to hear Besoros Tovos this year. It's done. We're done with this. There is no reason for the Arabs to still rule over the world in fear. It's time. Think to yourself. You already passed Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That's gone. We no longer have Rosh Chodesh Shvat to be able to daven for Kedusha Torah. We're coming up to Tu B'Shvat next week. It's coming up next week. Sit there and say to yourself, and even now it's in the middle of Shvat, we're still on, we're in Ches today, Tes tomorrow. Sit there and say to yourself, what can I do to get more Kedusha Torah? Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to daven, I'm going to ask you to give me more strength, more power, more zitzflesh, to sit in the base medrash and to be able to be, to desire, to want to do the Gemara again and again and again, so that finally I can come up with something that I really understand. To answer a question that I have up on my door in a way that no one has ever answered before. You have to daven for that. That doesn't come easy. To answer it, and to get, you can't even get paid for it. To come up with something that's such a chiddush, you look at it and you just say, this had to be a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to end with this. If you look at the Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Mbatha, passed away in 1908, I believe, every single one of his Chedusha Man Gemara in the Ben Yo Yada and the Ben Yavu starts with the words Nira Li B'Siyata D'Shmaya. It appears to me with help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single piece, because he truly felt this is not coming just from himself. He felt it was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping him make the right decision, figuring out what to say in the Gemara. And if you do that, if you daven well, if you learn well, I'm guaranteeing you'll have Kedusha Torah that you can be proud of. So you can fill up a safer filled with Kedusha Torah and you'll be able to sit there and you'll be the reason. You'll be the reason why people are enjoying their learning a little bit more. Because you'll sit there, you'll look at it, you'll be like, this is the greatest thing in the world. I'm coming up with my own little kids. I'm creating my own little kids from this. And if you feel that way about learning, people get excited by you. And they'll want to do it as well. You'll create a whole new system. You'll create a whole new world. Similar to the iPhone Bituma, this will be Bitaro. We should be Zoka to be able to get to that point.